Off the ball on News Talk.
Thanks to Screwfix.ie. Championing the trade with a choice of over 20,000 quality trade products.
How's it going? You're very welcome along to our Saturday panel. It is a very special Saturday panel because we are coming to you from the clubhouse of Ballyhale Shamrocks in County Kilkenny. And it's actually Wednesday night. We recorded this in the wind and the rain. You might be able to hear it outside. It's a pretty miserable evening, but we're delighted to be here. All snug. We got a nice little crowd in with us as well. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Are we getting better? We're starting to warm up. The reason we're here is because, well, firstly, we're going to be promoting Hurling with the Stars, the coaching experience, which is a major fundraiser the club are undertaking. We'll bring you all the details on that in a while. But really, we're here because we got the invite and we wanted to come down to see what makes Ballyhale so successful. They are quite simply the most successful club hurling team in the country. 15 Kilkenny County titles, 7 Leinster hurling titles, and a record-breaking 6 All-Ireland club hurling titles. They've created some of the greatest hurlers this country has ever seen. 7 separate players from this club have captained Kilkenny to All-Ireland titles, and I'm delighted to be joined by 4 great Ballyhale men alongside me. Michael Fennelly Sr., one of 7 brothers to have won an All-Ireland club hurling title, father of a Hurler of the Year, Michael, and father of Colin, who is still involved in the Kilkenny squad this summer. We also have Patrick PM O'Sullivan, who's a writer with the Irish Examiner. Tommy Shefflin, who has trained Kilkenny to an All-Ireland under 21, trained the Kilkenny side at under 21 level, and manage Carrick Shock to an intermediate All-Ireland title, and also has a All-Ireland medal with Ballyhale. And finally, Tom Coogan, who captained Ballyhale to the 2007 All-Ireland club title and still playing a little bit of junior hurling. And it was quite a surprise when I rocked up then, and there's 2 pitches, you're hoping to buy a third, and 2 fairly basic clubhouses that you do things, you keep it simple around here, and it's proven pretty successful.
Yeah, look, I wouldn't call it a clubhouse either, to be honest with you.
Changing rooms.
But it's very simple setup, and it's probably what we're reared on. We didn't know anything any better, and you know it's worked for us so far. But we're just hoping maybe that you know the concept that we're trying to undertake now might push on, you know, and improve the facilities and give the next generation every chance to compete in it at the highest level, like we had a chance to do.
Yeah, we're going to get into how you can help this club raise some funds, but basically you're looking to raise 50 grand to get a third pitch, a juvenile pitch, nothing too fancy, literally another plot of land where players can go out and train and maybe you can save the main pitch for the championship days.
That's it, yeah, because most clubs now probably with the weather, probably this winter anyway, Nathan, it's very hard to keep fields right and stuff, you know, with the conditions. Teams, I know a lot of teams in Kilkenny had to go train, like Carlo, WIT places for early in the year. So, you know, we're just trying to avail of a patch of ground that was adjacent to the club, just to make a juvenile field to help, again, as I said, the next generation to progress and be as good as they can be.
Michael, is it possible to explain what makes this club special? How a parish and how a village of, 800, 900 people can have so much success on the hurling field?
It's probably hard to go if it, finger on it, Nathan. It's probably down to family tradition, I suppose, going back. I mean, the club was Trotters Ballyhale and Tofter split back in the 60s, and then a few wise heads came together in 1971 or so, and it was building up that we had an influx of hurlers, an awful lot of hurlers, and we were going to lose them. So a few of the fathers came together, and in 72 then to form Shamrocks Hurling Club, KBK, Knockmile, Knocktofter and Ballyhale. And I think since that 72, the club has never looked back.
Yeah, PM, you might talk us through the history then. There was 2 clubs within the one parish previously, and eventually they merged. Why was there a split initially? Or dare I ask?
There wasn't, I don't think there was so much a split in the sense of, you know, there was a row or a fallout, you know, which is always meant to be the first thing, the Irish agenda. No, the funny thing is the club was very well thought out by people like Michael's father, Kevin Fennelly Sr., and Michael Hine and other people at the time. As a club crest represents, there are 3 parts to the parish: Knockmilan, which is down in the south of the parish towards Waterford, Knocktofter, which is more at the Kilkenny end, the Thomastown end, and then it kind of smack bang in the middle, Ballyhale. The irony is that the first kind of serious club in the parish was a Knocktofter football team in the 1900s and 19-teens. And the last Kilkenny man to captain Kilkenny to win a Leinster title, believe it or not, was a Ballyhale man. and it was a man, Houlihan and Octofer, and his grandson then, Frank Houlihan, captained Kilkenny to win the league in 1986.
Right.
So there are huge continuities both from the foundation of the club in 1972 and pre Ballyhale Shamrocks. More or less, on, you know, the first strong team was a Knockmylan team in the 19-teens, 1920s, and that sort of morphed into a Carrick Shock team in the late 1920s, which won the senior title in Kilkenny for the first time in 1931. And I think on that Carrick Shock team, which now is associated with the neighbouring parish of Aughervillar, but was actually founded in the parish of Ballyhale. There were 11 Ballyhale natives on that Carrick Shock team in 1931, which led to a man from Kilcready in the parish of Ballyhale called Jimmy Welsh, captain Kilkenny, to win the 1932 All-Ireland. And he repeated that feat in 1939. And funny enough, his neighbour, Liam Fenley, Michael's younger brother, he repeated that feat in 1982 and 1983 and 1992. So there are huge continuities both from the club being founded but before it as well. But the, you know, hurling has been very strong in Ballyhale for a long time and long may it continue.
Michael, when you think back then to the early 70s and the formation of the club, what was the ethos? What was the driving force? Was it to keep young men in this village, to keep people around, that to give them another option, a social outlet? What was the thinking?
Yeah, it's been mainly to keep the young people around. I mean, hurling was the main tradition here, main sport, and we love our hurling around here. I mean, from 72, since the club was founded, and we went on, won the junior, following year won the intermediate, and then we're up senior within 3 years. And then, okay, we had to find our feet then for maybe 2 or 3 years before we won our first county championship. And that was won in 78. So we had serious success, and even underage as well at the same time. I think it's just tradition, and people love their hurling here, and we, when you're successful, it drives you on and keeps you going and keeps the head thinking and keeps the brain working. So, and they're all a happy bunch of guys, all together, good friends, and that's about it.
Tommy, is there a Ballyhale way if you go out and you watch a Ballyhale under 10 team all the way through to seniors?
Well,
is there
Nathan, I just, Tom, I was talking, he asked me to come down tonight, and I was just thinking, I'm involved with the senior team this year at the moment ourselves. I'm just thinking, it's as simple as this. Like, last night we trained, and we were supposed to play a match against Castle Comer in the Bourne Cup. Comer couldn't field a team, so we had to have an in-house match among ourselves, and we had to go looking for 16, 17 year olds to make up a team of two teams to have a game last night, so which we did. And the way it, like, this young lad, Casey Corkin, 16 years of age, was out hurling last night, and if you go by the rules of the GAA, we're breaking the rules by playing these young lads, but we had no choice to go look for them, and they came down, and last night Casey Corkin and them lads were hopping off of Colin Fenley and as I said, like, without them young lads realising, like, they're being exposed to that level, and they're out there and they're doing a warm up, and you're in a warm up a 15, 16 year old with TJ Reid and Bob Elwood and these lads, and they're leathering balls at you. And, like, you have no option but to adapt, or if you don't, the drill breaks down and the boys are getting on to you. So without these young lads even realising what's going on, they're thrown into the middle of it, and that brings them on a ton. And going back to last night, like I said, we had 6 or 7 16, 17-year-olds playing an internal match, and they were out there, and Joey Holland was there doing the warm-up, and Richie Reid was hurling, like, because they were allowed to come back for Kilkenny for a night to hurl with the club, and we'd no game, so we played our internal game, as I said. And these young lads then straight away are being exposed to that level. Now, if you look at the town teams who have huge numbers, them 16, 17-year-olds at that age would not get that experience because they have numbers of 21, 22-year-olds to fill in them gaps.
Yeah.
So, like, at underage in Ballyhale, 13, 14, we're not able to compete with the town teams because they have big numbers. But when we get to 17, 18-year-olds, our lads, the 13-year-olds, are still hurling as the town teams are losing these young lads because they, like, nothing against them, but it's just that they have the huge numbers. And I just go back, I just thought another thing, I just, while I finish it off, going back to our under 19 team this year, right? 5 years ago, I was inside in Thomastown up in the bank. We were playing James Stevens in a under 14 quarter final of the championship. And I was standing in the bank with Brian McAvoy, and the village, it was 7:33 to 4 points, the village were beating our lads. And there was a young fella playing corner forward for the village. He was 6'3" or 4". He had a pair of links on him like a man. And Adrian Mullen, who you probably heard of, is an up and coming star at Kilkenny. He's under 21 at Kilkenny at the moment. Adrian was our best player, and the boys had to put Adrian Mullen back, Conor back, to mark this lad. But anyway, to cut a long story short, the game was nearly over. Your man caught a ball over Adrian Mullen's head and stuck in the back of the net. And I was on the bank with Brian McAvoy, who is the hurler for Kilkenny from the village. And one of the village lads down in front of us let us shout, "That's the stuff, sold into him." And Brian McAvoy said, "Ah, lads, no need for that." But anyway, the heel of the hunt. 2 years later, that same team got bet by O'Loughlin's in an under-16A final. This O'Loughlin's team had won the FAILA the previous 2 years, under-14, they won the minor. And that under-16 team then, the year after, they won the minor in Kilkenny A. They bet the village in the minor final. So just in the space of 3 years, our lads got bets 8.35 to 5 pints under 14, and 3 years later, that same under 14 team bet the village team in the minor county final. So that is just like, there's nothing else in this parish, only that. Like, I was thinking about it, like, in the town teams, you have just so many distractions and all that. But in Ballyhale, like the biggest bit of excitement in the street of Ballyhale the last couple of years is the traffic lights up in the middle of the street. It's not happening, like, so, you know what I mean? Like, so that's...
There were traffic lights?
Well, they're pedestrian lights, and that's the last bit of excitement.
Coloured lights.
That's the last bit of excitement that we had in the village. So it's either be up there playing with the traffic lights or be down here hurling, so...
What you touch on there on the 16, 17-year-olds been out on the training pitch with Colin Fennelly and with TJ Reid, like, it's hard to underestimate how important that is in keeping these young lads around, I guess, because... All right, fair enough, the first couple of times they go in for a shoulder, and geez, anyone who goes in for a shoulder with TJ Reid is probably only going one way. But they keep going, and you think, well, maybe actually I'm not 100 million miles away from this guy. If I dedicate myself to this, maybe I can go and play senior for Ballyhale, or maybe I can take the next step that I can go and play senior for Kilkenny.
Yeah, well, that's the big thing, like that. And again, the country clubs, like, that's the advantage you have. The town teams, like, it's great, as I said, the town teams are winning all the under 12, 14 and all that, but they have so great. And another story, under 13 team in the parish here played the village second team about 3 weeks ago in the challenge. Philly Larkin is over the village, and my own son is hurling under 13, he's over there. But our team went in with 16, right? The village second team had 30. So they played three 20-minute quarters. The first quarter, the village put out their first 15. The second 20 minutes, they put out the next 15. And then the last 20 minutes, they put out the best of the mix. So they had 30. This is the village B team under 13.
Right.
And our lads had 16 of the one team. And that's what you're, like, compete, like, as I keep saying, like, it's just that. And that's the advantage of the country teams, that the young lads will, like, I know that 12 of the 15 of them under 13s that played at match the other night will still be hurling minor, but the village, them 30 that played the other night, probably 5 of them will hurl minor.
Tom, we were talking beforehand, and I was the most common question, I think, when you talk Kilkenny hurling, and if you were to talk to Brian Cody and you look at the success, is, you know, what's the secret, what do you do down here? And I was asking with Ballyhale, you know, what is it that makes Ballyhale successful? And you were basically touching upon what Michael was touching on. Like, it's family, it's tradition. Like, the three or four families and generations of the one family can make a huge difference to a club like this. Like, having seven Fennelly brothers and then it going on through the generations makes a massive difference.
It does, Nathan, yeah. And I suppose to answer your question a little bit, just my own theory on it is, you know, as an ex-player and that coming right up along, would be that certainly, you know, the first time we came into the field, and Tommy touched on there what he was saying as well, at underage level in the club itself, players don't play under a pressure to succeed or succeed to win. You know, from say 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, the emphasis is not totally on winning. It's about coaching kids the basic skills of the game. And the theory in this club, certainly Michael would probably tell you as well, is that we feel we make our players between 17 maybe and 21. They're the crucial years we feel that players come through in. You know, as I said, young players don't play under pressure. You're not expected to win championships or succeed in any way, shape or form. But and that's down to people like Michael as well, and Sean Reid and Michael Hine and these guys. You know, from the time I was young, I only know these people as mentors that were over me from the time I'm young. And that, and they never put pressure on you, or never, you know, I know, look, you make a mistake, they're not going to, you know, eat you or chaw the head off you, for example. You know, they'll encourage you. And that type of thing is probably one of the other traditions that's in the club. It's you know, the way they coach the game. Probably a lot of clubs that would have played Shamrocks, and even internally in Kilkenny, would probably tell you it's quite hard to play against them, their style of play and the way they play the game. And it's not something that we go out intentionally to do, but it's something we were coached by people like Michael Fenley, Sean Reid, these guys from the time we were young lads. You know, they don't, you know, the way they play the game, it's crisscrossing the ball, it's moving the ball into space for forwards to run onto. It's a different style of play than, say, you know, put the big lad full forward and lurry it in on top of him.
You're giving us the secret now.
Well, I don't know, but it's just my... I'm just thinking that's what I learned from these people, you know, and had the honour to play under them and still continue to work with them at various ages. And they just love the game. I mean, Michael's involved with one of the junior teams there at the moment still. You know, he's probably held every honour in the club. He's managed the team to win a Club All-Ireland. Sean Reid, for example, was, you know, he was over a minor team that I was lucky enough to play on in 97 that won a minor A final with Henry and Aidan Cummins and the lads, Paul Shefflin and these guys. And, you know, Sean Reid was over the minor team 18 years later that won an A final that Tommy referred to there with Adrian Mullen there, you know. So
16.
In 16. So these guys have put in huge time and huge effort, but they just genuinely just love the game, you know.
Yeah. Is there any way, Michael, of... thinking how many hours of your life have been spent around this pitch?
I wouldn't like to talk about Nathan.
With some pension.
But when you talk about tradition and styles of play, like when you look at this current Ballyhale crop, can you reminisce and can you get nostalgic and think, actually, it's not too different to what we were doing 30 years ago, 40 years ago when we were winning All-Irelands then?
Yeah, it's very much similar. A lot of them come from the same household and the same families. And, you know, Thomas talking about the players, you know, I mean, OK, we do a certain amount, but we can't make a hurdle out of a player, you know what I mean? They either have it or they haven't it. You know, most of the boys around here have the game, and if they have the game, it's only a matter of touching up and different things, and crossing the ball, as Tom said, you know, and encourage them and bring them along, and they'll work together and just... It's just a few secrets on the game, you know, not to frustrate them.
Yeah.
Bring them along.
They seem to have a better chance of having it if they're from Ballyhale. Like, seven brothers winning Club All-Irelands and the unbelievable success he had at inter-county level as well. Like,
yeah, well, that's very unusual, you know. I mean, that doesn't happen every so often.
Why did it happen?
Well, first of all, it's hard to get seven brothers together. It's twice as hard to get them all together on the same team.
Seven brides for seven brothers, as the film goes.
I mean,
yeah.
That just happened. And, I mean, our places weren't given to us. I mean, we had to fight for them, and on the field you fought for the ball, and you were told if you didn't get it, yeah, kick up in the arse and move on, you know. That was the way it was.
The underage level then, because I guess you would imagine that when you start having success, and there was, what, three All-Irelands before 1990, that when young players start emerging, suddenly maybe the attitudes around the club change, that, I don't know, that suddenly there's this... people striving for excellence, that at core people start popping up in the club thinking, yeah, actually winning All-Irelands is nice, winning All-Irelands actually means more than anything else, and you start getting that into the heads of 12, 13, 14 year olds. But it sounds like you try not to do that, but that can't be an easy thing.
I think what particularly young people, what children see or teenagers see is much more powerful than what they're told, because people get a bit fed up, you know, if there's a preaching element to it, and it's very embedded in the parish, and you know, everybody can be involved and people stay involved. I mean, you know, Michael and Tommy Phelan, over the junior C team, our third adult team, Tommy was a selector with myself and John Drennan when we were kind of fortunate enough and privileged enough to be there. The last club All-Ireland we won in 2015 with Andy Maloney and Colin Bonner. So you don't just, it's not a question of the big days. You know, that's at both on the sideline level, the mentoring level, and with the players. You know, they're former players and they've stayed involved. But I'd say there isn't any one thing. I suppose, like, there are a lot of different factors in Ballyhale. It's been a relatively stable population for a long time, not too much up, not too much down. It's a bit up now, obviously, since the 2000s. But what you have fundamentally in Ballyhale, and this goes back to the Carrick Shock teams in the 30s and 40s, is a winning tradition. And it's very hard to get that. It's very, very different, because a lot of people like Michael back in the 70s and Tommy and Tom later on, it takes a lot of people and a lot of games and a lot of effort. But once you have it, it's a very, very precious thing to have.
But it's very easy to lose it. And there's countless examples of a generation like Michael's generation coming through and creating it and then somebody throwing it away.
Cavanan, say, for instance, inter-county football would be an example. But like what you have in Ballyhale is a winning tradition. And I imagine for any a youngster growing up, it's very intimate. I mean, they see, you know, whoever it is, Michael, and they know that the history's there with his family, and they know it with TJ Reid, but they see them going to the shop, you know, they see them walking down the street. They're not, you know, it's very ordinary. And for any guy who's a bit of talent at 16 and 17, if he wants to get on a Kilkenny team, a Shamrock senior team, as Tommy said, he can come down and train in the first instance with the current county guys. And, you know, whoever wants it can have it. And I mean, you take our last captain in 2015 to Captain Kilkenny Twin Doll Ireland, I mean, Joey Holden, still playing there, went very good against Wexford last weekend. He never played minor with Kilkenny. He never played under 21. He wasn't even a sub. But because he was with a strong senior team, you know, he was able to make that jump up the ladder. And that's there for any young lad, and I hope to be alive to see a few more of them coming through.
Yeah, they generally don't lose the run of themselves, it seems, in Ballyhale. No truth in the rumour that TJ is not doing selfies with anybody anymore.
No, you wouldn't get time to lose the run yourself, Nathan, I think, to be honest. You know, because I think, and that reason that is probably, you know, for every one person walks down the street, maybe has one county fine. If you're 16 or 17, well, you'll walk past another lad with three or four, and that keeps the ground, you know, keeps everybody grounded around the area, and it keeps guys striving to be the best then as well, you know, and stay pushing on.
Yeah, the one being grounded would be taught very quickly.
Well, they would, and rightly so, Mike, rightly
by
so.
By Michael and others.
So. You're telling me there's never been a row in a pub at night where somebody's All-Ireland medals comes out?
We won't go there.
No. We want
the good stuff.
We're like the Amish, we don't go in for intoxicants.
That's what I was worried about, yeah. Sure. Tommy, talking then about that culture and maintaining it and not losing it and having the constant success over the last 30, 40 years. A big part of that is, I guess, the culture of the GAA and giving back and people not just hanging around for the playing days, taking the medals and moving on. And that, we see that with the Fenleys and we see that with the Reeds and so many families. And now, we yourself and the brother, Henry, you've taken charge of the senior team. There does seem to be that in Ballyhale that no matter how successful you've been, and Henry's arguably the greatest hurler, the most successful hurler of all time, yet he was out here last night, I presume, running rule over 25, 30 lads.
Yeah, well, he's taking up that now. I'm just doing the cones and stuff for him as well. So, that's a role that he wants to get into. And, like, I read something there recently, and he actually quoted himself as saying that I came looking to him to see could I get involved, but it wasn't that way at all. He came to me, so... Like, I was here before, I trained the guys in 2012 and 13, so, and then I went away, but as I said, yeah, so, but, like, I think with these present crop of retiring in the county players, I think they're spoiled, really, because they've, over the years, they're standing looking at Cody, standing in the line, and he's just standing there, and everyone else running around the place doing things for you, and then they think that Henry comes back into Ballyhale and thinks that's the way it operates. So he has these lads running around the place for him. So he's a bit to learn in that sense too. But we'll drill it home to him yet.
You're getting an exclusive there, Nathan.
He's not here to defend himself. Yeah, and I don't know when. Hopefully it's a while before the Kilkenny County Championship resumes again. But I think we have the exclusive that there's division in the Ballyhale managerial camp.
But he won't just come down here and just start pointing the finger and like he'll have to earn his stripes the same as the rest of us. So
yeah, we're going to take a very quick break. We will continue. There's a whole lot more stories we want to talk about Ballyhale and talk a bit more about Henry as well and some of the current players that are playing here. You're listening to our Saturday panel on Off the Ball. As I say, a very special Saturday panel. We recorded this on Wednesday night down in the clubhouse at Ballyhale Shamrocks.
Off the Ball on News Talk.
Thanks to Screwfix.ie, championing the trade with a choice of over 20,000 quality trade products.
You're very welcome back to our Saturday panel. We are in the clubhouse of Ballyhale Shamrocks. We're talking about, what makes this club so great. And we have four Ballyhale stalwarts alongside me. We're going to talk to a few other people in the dressing room here with us on Wednesday night, as it is during this recording. But alongside me, we have Michael Fenley Sr., Pat PM O'Sullivan, Tommy Shefflin, and Tom Coogan. I want to talk to you then a bit about Henry, who, as I say, is probably the greatest hurler of all time and came from this village. Ooh. Michael, you might start. When was the first time you ever saw Henry puck the ball? I'm putting you on the spot now.
Jesus, Henry, he was living in the village that time. We were above him, up in the hill up in Castlegany.
I should mention I've had the tour of the village. Mary Harrington brought me around and showed me everywhere, and ye literally are top of the heap top of the heap.
Yeah, I mean, Henry, they moved up the back road now from the village. But I seen Henry maybe the minor final with Tom, they played.
97
would be the first real indication that he, you know, he might be one for the future. So, as a top, I mean, he didn't play underage with Kilkenny, I don't think, and he's mainly a senior. Once he started senior then, and okay, he had his injuries along, but I suppose he struck in with a great time with Kilkenny. They won so many All-Irelands, and Henry happened to be from the start there, and then right up to the finish, and he got his 10 All-Irelands. Okay, he had injuries and could have been unlucky for him, but he stuck with it and he always minded himself, and he was a great leader, a great man to get a score. He probably took him out of a couple of times there with his penalties and free take, and he was immense with it. And so that's for me, for Henry.
Yeah, Henry's story, it feels into a lot of what you've been saying about how you want to bring young players up, because he's such a good example. He's spoken so often about maybe at 15, 16, not being the best player in the county, not being the superstar that everybody, like not being Joe Canning when he was 16 and everybody knew this guy was going to be a genius. Tom, when you were growing up in your similar age group, I think, like, am I underestimating? Is he underestimating himself there?
I think people do. I honestly do, Nathan, think people do underestimate him. I can remember vividly, there's a great tournament in Kilkenny called the Lisdowney Sevens. And it's a tournament that's for under 13 and a half, just a little over national school age. And there's teams from probably four or five counties playing that seven-a-side tournament in Lisdowney. And we went to the semi-final of it 1 year, and we won it the year after in Henry's last year in sixth class. And I was lucky enough to have played with Henry right from the time he started. And, you know, it was no coincidence. Henry was the player of the tournament in that, and was the top scorer in that tournament at the time. And there was a rule in that tournament that you couldn't solo run. That was one of the rules of the game. You had to just pick, strike and hit. And Henry always had this natural ability to be in the right place at the right time, you know, and he came out of that tournament top scorer and player of the tournament as well. So for me, it was no coincidence that he, you know, I thought he did have a very, very good underage career. And you know, you definitely know, he definitely improved hugely. I mean, third level was massive for him, I'd say. You know, obviously the attention to detail and the diet and the training, etc. But potential was always there, I would have thought. He was always one of the outstanding players on the field any day I would have played, definitely, you know, and still probably was to the day he finished. Like.
Tommy, I'm not sure how keen you're going to be to blow smoke up your brother's ass, but go on, talk to us about growing up and maybe the games you would have had together. Was there always a sense that, yeah, he's a little bit better than everyone else around?
Yeah, like...
You taught him everything he knows, I presume.
Well, no, I won't say that now, But like when we were growing up, like I'm 9 years older than him, and then I had a brother next to me, it was John. So the two of us were probably, and we grew up in a pub and a farm, and we were two older brothers. So naturally enough, we did all the work. So Henry and Paul then were there, and Paul was a year younger than Henry. So they kind of came up and like they got the easy side of the brush, because like we used to do all the farm work, and we'd then go from the farm to the pub, and the boys probably, they got away with murder, like, so they got it easier than we did. That's for definite, like.
Another exclusive.
But then, yeah, I know at home, like, yeah, we used to have a squash court at home, and we used to spend a lot of time out there, like inside, either playing squash or hurling ball against the wall. And then we had a little lawn out the back of the back of the squash court. And I remember myself, we painted the target on the back wall. And like it was only a small quarter of an acre, and there's a little shed, and we used to be up there, and that target used to be like it used to get hours and hours of phone out, but nowadays they're home but shooting us on television. Yeah. But that's what we used to be doing, like up there and trying to, like, it was like a bull's eye in a wall, and you're trying to hit the middle target, and you had, like, we used to have have scores like five for the outer ring and 10 for the middle ring, and you get 10 shots out of the public. Like things like that we used to be doing on the lawn. So, but no, I heard with Henry, like talking about like up through the years, but I remember we went back down senior in 95, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, 95, and came back up in 97. So in 98, then I was on the Kilkenny intermediate team. We got beaten in the intermediate All Ireland against Limerick, and Henry was on that team, and I was on that team. And I remember he was working with us I worked with Shaw Electrical, and he worked with us for the summer. And Pat O'Neill and all that. And I remember him saying, like Pat O'Neill was asking him, like, are you happy to be on the intermediate team? He said, no, I'd rather be on the under 21 panel. So at that time, like, he wasn't on the under 21 mm-hmm. panel, but he was on the Kilkenny intermediate team. So we got beaten in the intermediate Ireland final that year, but I think he was called in then. And like, he was 19 years of age, so like at that stage he wasn't even recognised to be strong enough to be on the Kilkenny under 21 panel. So,
and a lot of guys at that age, they drift away, and it is one of those pressure points where other interests come into your life. You start going for a couple of drinks. It does feel from what Henry said and from his college experience that actually when a lot of his contemporaries went one way, he went another. He suddenly took it a whole lot more serious. You talk about the nutrition, that he was going to be the best he could very be as a hurler. Did you notice a change in him over those, say, latter teenage years, 19,
20? When you're a former brother like that, like, you kind of live your own life. Yeah. At that stage, I was 27, 28 years of age. He was 19, so I walked away.
You got
away.
Your own thing going on.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so you don't, like, and I walked away a lot with the company I worked with, so I wasn't at home the whole time, and like he was in Cairns and all that, and then he went to the college in Washford, and he stayed down there as well. So like you were kind of distanced from home a lot, like, so you wouldn't spot them small things going on in his life, because I said you're worried about your own life really. Yeah. And so,
what's it like though? What was it like as a family sitting in the stands watching him win 10 All Irelands?
I know, listen, like, you're proud, and like, but you like, we're not very like a family at home, that we don't go around pat each other on the back or hug each other. But listen, like naturally enough, of course, like, he's your brother, like, and you're delighted for him, and it's great, like, and all that. But you don't tell him that, like, so.
he doesn't come in at Christmas dinner and go, the king is back.
No.
You get a smackdown.
Actually, the time when he got married, I just made a smile, said a few words, and like, I was just saying that. Over all the years, like, this thing never got to Henry's head, and like, he got the title as King Henry, but I said that, but eventually it did seep in, because where he's built his house now is up looking over
the castle on the hill.
Exactly, yeah. Like back in the day when the king owned the land, he built his castle and he was looking down at all his peasants, whatever you want to call it. So like, that's where he's now. He's sitting up there looking down at all those.
But master of all his surveys.
Exactly, yeah.
We've seen, PM, in a lot of counties, that there's often difficulties between the more successful clubs and the county, and a pull and a drag here and there. It doesn't feel like there is that between Ballyhale and Kilkenny, that you've been able to marriage the success of the club team, but also take incredible pride that you've constant representatives, really been the backbone of the most successful, the greatest Kilkenny team of all time.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's a winning tradition in Ballyhale, there's a winning tradition in Kilkenny, and I suppose in recent years, since Brian Cody became manager for the 1999 season, to a certain extent, the two things have gone in lockstep. You know, you had Henry in 07, you had Chad Fitzpatrick in 08, and you had Michael Fenley in 09. And when Ballyhale seemed to be going well, Kilkenny seemed to be winning All Ireland and winning four in a row. So obviously when that's happening, the public is happy. Henry, when he retired, Brian Cody said, look, you got the very best out of yourself, and that's the best thing any athlete or any sportsman could say. And I think that's true. But, you know, and Henry pushed himself, and we saw this close up. I was with Tommy when he was manager, and we saw it in the club scene. We've seen it from a distance with Kilkenny. But he was fortunate as well, and the people who heard him were fortunate, because he drove himself. But as Michael alluded to, he was also fortunate to come along at a time when he had not just a strong club, side around him, but a Strom County side. Mm. And he gave a great deal to both teams, but he also gained a great deal from Hurling Kilkenny with Tommy Welsh and JJ Delaney and Noel Hickey and all the rest. And of course here, you know, he had great players around him and led him with Tom in 06 to get what was a vital county senior final. You know, they'd lost a year before in the county final to James Stevens, and they needed to make a breakthrough. And when we did make that big breakthrough, then they went on to a 4 in a row.
Yeah, it's funny when you talk to people around here today, All-Ireland finals don't seem to come up too often. It's always county finals. Do you remember 06? Do you remember this year? It's the county final that comes up. That seems to be the one that there's almost most pride in. That been the Kings of Kilkenny, almost been the crowned All-Ireland champions.
Yeah, you just said about friction between clubs. There's natural competitiveness. James Stevens is a big rival with James Stevens. They're a great city club. It's been a huge rival with them right from the start. But like, I think what Brian Cody has done as Kilkenny manager is probably two things. He's given anybody from whatever club a chance. And as I said before in relation to Joey Holden, you don't have to have been a minor star. You don't have to be an under-21 star. Tommy alluded to it there. You know, he brought in Henry, made him a key player even in 1999 when he was only 20 years of age. You know, if you're prepared to put it in, you'll get a chance from Brian Cody. And the other thing, I suppose, that he did do was he did develop a cohesion that there were huge battles on the club scene, but they didn't interfere with the county scene. And as you say, in lots of counties, that does come against them. Mm. That, you know, you have cliques in the county dressing room. But thankfully, Kilkenny seem to have avoided it for the moment.
We're going to make a couple of changes to the panel. I want to get a couple of people in very quickly. Carmel Harrington, come over here for a second. Carmel put on the most almighty spread for myself and Niall, our videographer, today. We have got the warmest of welcomes down in Ballyhale. And bring your Henry Shefflin autobiography with you as well. Michael Fenley, we might let you go. Thanks a lot for chatting to us, as always. And Tom, you can stay. Tommy, we might let you go as well, because I want to chat to you about the fundraising events. Carmel,
yes.
Go on, open up page, what is it, page 22 of Henry Shefflin's autobiography, because, you know, a lot of people around Ballyhale take credit for creating Henry Shefflin, but it turns out it was all down to you. What did Henry say in his autobiography?
Reading from the Epistle of St. James, or whatever you like to say. What did he say? Oh, sorry. As sub-goalie with the county minors, I was low enough down the food chain to be allowed play away with Shamrocks in the minor league. They still used me in the forwards, but one Sunday morning, feeling a little the worst of the wear from the night before, I managed to hit 3-7 against Gordon. This was picked up by my neighbour, Carmel Harrington, who happened to write the parish notes for the Kilkenny people, and before I knew it, I was starting as a forward in the Leinster minor final against Dublin.
So Henry Shefflin was just cruising through life unnoticed, is what I'm reading from that. And then you gave him the big up on radio and in print.
He was 16 years of age at the time. I think he was 16. And I used to do the sports report on the old Kilkenny radio at that stage with Pat Tracy. And in you go into the station on a Sunday evening on the headphones and you do all the sports report. And of course, talking about Henry, my heart used to be filled with pride. His mother, he might have our feet firmly on the ground, but it was a love affair since he was a small child.
You knew.
I knew. I could see it in him, yeah. Anyway, I said Henry scored a rake of scores that evening, and it filtered through. I think he even used the same expression on an interview he had with the Sunday Times, a rake of scores. So, yes, I knew from an early age that he was special.
Special. I won't embarrass your husband, Ollie, and ask him to rank the seven Fennellys in order of greatness, as I was trying to get him to do when we were up in the house a little bit earlier. Tommy Phelan is here as well. You might pop over and take a seat, because one of the things I want to chat about, and it was noticeable, PM, driving through Ballyhale, was, well, there's no shops. There's one pub, I think, at the moment. It's a quiet place at the moment. Like, there's a lot of talk of rural Ireland, where it is, where GAA clubs are, how communities are holding up. Like, where is Ballyhale right now when you look at it in comparison to the last 20, 30 years? Is it a vibrant place? Is it a place that needs some help?
It's a vibrant place in many ways, because we've very good numbers of youngsters in the national school. I mean, that's, you know, I know of one club, for instance, in North Kilkenny that's suffering terrible problems with just low numbers of children in national schools. So I think by and large, that's from what I understand, has held up very well and is holding up very well. So that's positive. Probably, you know, this is a lot of the reason why, and I did a piece with Joey Holden and TJ Reid for the Examiner a few weeks ago, and they stressed that the centre of the parish has moved away from maybe running into somebody in the post office or in the local shop in Ballyhale. That doesn't exist anymore. I grew up in the 1970s and 80s, and I think there were four, if not five, shops at one point in the village, and there were three pubs. There's one pub now and no shop. So that has dramatically altered, if you like, the texture of life in Ballyhale. But you try and maybe flip it over to a silver lining, it has put an increased emphasis on the pitch here. And that now, if you want to go and sort of meet people, you go down to the pitch, and, you know, there's lots of youngsters there tonight, which is great. So Ballyhale has suffered much more in that sense than Knocktopher. But we're hoping, particularly now with this redevelopment of the juvenile pitches, we're hoping that will put an extra bounce back in Ballyhale again.
Tommy, I don't know what I was expecting coming down here. Maybe it's just you get used to being around some of the super clubs in Dublin and some of the incredible facilities that they have. And I don't think anyone in many ways begrudges them. They go out, they do their fundraising, they're serving a huge population there. But like, it is, I called it a clubhouse, like it's changing rooms. Are you very happy with what you have here? Like, there's no floodlights here this evening for players to train during the winter when it's dark. That's just keeping me looking beautiful. That's all that does. Are you happy with what you have in Ballyhale, or is there a real driving ambition to make this bigger?
Yeah, no, we're not happy at the moment. There is a driving ambition at the moment. There's basically a development committee after being set up just to start this. I mean, when I started playing back in 1982, we were training over in Knocktopher in the Friary Field. We hadn't even got a pitch. So to great credit to the forefathers of our club. I mean, they got the two fields here and, you know, they got it this far. And I suppose possibly because of our success, we have stood still for the last maybe 10 or 12 years like that. So lads of my age group and that feel now that it's time maybe to give something back. We got a great run out of the club, like, you know, and we'd love to give something back. And we know we're not going to get much out of this, but we want to leave our mark now, like the people before us left their mark. So we're venturing now on this journey and see where to take us. So we do want to improve the grounds. As you said, we have only two double dressing rooms here, and basically we need more than that. And I know people, when they come to the pitch and come to our club, I'm sure, like, they drive in from other counties and they look, my God, is this the Shamrocks setup, like, you know? But I suppose we wouldn't take one county final or one club all Ireland back. Like,
you'd lose you yourselves with floodlights.
Yeah, absolutely.
it does feel as though there is actually, and again, you're trying to raise €50,000 for a juvenile pitch. So to think about major redevelopment is probably a long way off. But maybe that's the way this club and other clubs around here need to be thinking, that you need to be the centre of community. You need to be somewhere where people can go and play bingo on a Tuesday night, or you can have a meeting on a Thursday night. Is that realistic?
Yeah, I think anything is realistic if people want it enough. But I think Tommy covered it very well there. You know, that there's a generation of people there now, and one of the interesting things and one of the very positive dynamics about it is people who aren't necessarily natives of Ballyhale, but who have came in the last decade. There were two developments of houses in Knocktopher and Ballyhale. You know, they have gotten involved in the club. They've got involved in this development committee. They've got involved with various juvenile teams. That's really pleasing. Tom is our current juvenile chairman, you know, and he has been very welcoming to a lot of people into the club. And I think that's something we can be really happy about. We're never going to win an awful lot of silverware, as Tom as well said. We don't put a lot of emphasis on that, winning at under 14, at under 12. It's great if it comes along, but we're not terribly worried about it. But we like to try and be good at under 21. And you know, everything is realistic. We like everybody. There's a role for everybody in the club, as a player in the first instance, as a mentor, but also on any of these committees, because people have different skill sets. So we can have bingo here. We hope we might win some more silverware along the way. But as Tommy said, what we really want to do is just develop the club now for the coming young players. And we firmly hope and want to do that.
Carmel, you might let your daughter Mary take over from you there, because I do want to talk about why we're here as well. While we're waiting for Mary to get involved, Tom, where Ballyhale at the moment? It's a couple of years now since you won an All-Ireland title. You've got a bit of a break before senior championship. Is anything less than senior championship seen as failure now?
No, certainly. I don't know. It's Tommy Shefflin gone there. Tommy certainly wouldn't see anything else. He definitely see it as a failure if we didn't win the championship. And look, you need people like Tommy as well. You know, guys with a massive drive and a massive hunger for it.
You were saying earlier there's almost natural transition periods, as there probably is at every level of. Yeah. What you want to do is hold on to the players that are entering their 30s and hope that a new crop of 19, 20-year-olds can learn from them. Do you have that?
Yeah, I believe we do. I certainly do, yeah. I think there's the makings of a really, really good team there still. You know, we have great leaders. We're lucky probably to be, you know, with county representation, I suppose, in the last 10 or 15 years. Them players have, you know, brought back, you know, what they've learned at club level or county level and brought that back into the club. And guys are obviously, you know, like the lads said, Colin and Joey, these guys training last night, you get a guy 16, 17 and he's seen what they're doing and he's kind of saying, well, Jesus, you know, maybe I'll have a cut off of this, like, you know. And if that's the incentive that's there, and, you know, with a guy like Tommy, you know, training the team, a guy like Henry, managing the team, you know, there is, I would say, certainly, there's a good crop of good young players. They've won a minor 2 years ago, 16, they won under 21 last year. And, you know, we still have Colin, Joey, Richie Reid, Michael Fenley.
Well, even with Henry gone, you still have two Reed, like, hurlers of the year. Like, that's ridiculous for a club of this size to have three hurlers of the year in
absolutely
a decade.
Yeah, and look, the lads' dedication to the club, Nathan, is massive. I mean, you couldn't underestimate how good our club men are, or our county men are to their clubs.
Right.
They never flinched. They always show up. They're always here.
They were here last night.
They were here last night. Like, you know, and that's what that grounding that Michael spoke about earlier. You know, you don't go above your station here, you will be dragged down fairly quick. And that's the nature of the beast here, but that's the way it is. It's not cruel, it's realistic. And that's the way we are. We're probably just realistic about our approach. But certainly, I think, you know, with them leaders on that senior team and the nucleus of the guys coming through from under 21, I think the future is certainly bright for the club going forward, on the field anyway. And we're just trying to increase that off the field as well.
Mary Harrington has been the driving force of us coming down to Ballyhale this evening, literally the driving force. She drove myself and Niall around the parish earlier. We saw the Fenleys at the top of the parish. We saw Henry's Castle on the hill. We saw the Braveheart bridges up at the Mountain View Golf Club. Yeah. We've got a right old tour of the place, but it's been brilliant, and we've really enjoyed coming down here, Mary. But there is a reason you wanted us down as well. You might tell us then about the Hurling with the Stars coaching experience that you're trying to raise all this money with.
Firstly, thank you both for coming down and thank you for answering my message. Hurling with the Stars is basically a concept that one of the lads came up with, and Tom asked me to come in on the committee. And of course, you know, anything to do with Ballyhale, you know, it's a very proud place. I think I said to you about people with medals. People don't talk about medals down here. They do their talking on the pitch. You won't know that if Henry is sitting in the front seat in the church, that he has any All-Ireland medals or club All-Ireland medals or anything like that.
Because they're not like that. Because the front seat in the church, though.
Yeah, well, that's a bit late. But no, you know,
it is reserved, Nathan. It is actually reserved.
We see the lads every day of the week or every other day of the week, but, you know, we acknowledge them. But people that are visitors come in, they can't understand how they can go to Mass or they can go to the shop and they're not mobbed. You know, we just take them. They're one of our people in our parish. They're not anybody more special than any of the rest of us. But at the same time, they have brought such greatness to our little parish. We're very, very proud of everything they've ever done. And I mean, any of these lads, even to turn up, I mean, I was here in the field last night, and you have 30 fellas absolutely bursting a gut out there, because every one of those has been watched by Henry Shefflin. Of course they want to make their mark. It doesn't matter if you're 16 years of age or if you're 10 out on the other pitch. Well, you know, or 40 as Bob is. But it doesn't matter what age you are. You still want to be down here in this field. I mean, my dad avoided for a long time down here, but he's back coming to some matches with me. So, you know, people like that are important, because they were the ones that got us probably, you know, to the level we're at. I mean, I have great pride because, obviously, I used to go to the matches with Daddy. I mean, you know, we've spoke about
it. And he has the medals. Couple
he
of
has
club
the
All-Irelands in there as well.
Yeah,
I'm thinking, at 45, he won a club All-Ireland medal, which must be up there nearly as a record.
Yeah, but he could still turn around and play now. That's the thing about it, you know, in fairness to him, you know. But this is what it's about. You know, there's none of them any more special than the next one. And they're so modest about it. I mean, you wouldn't have had any of the medals brought down here because none of those lads wanted known.
I had a vision that we could line them all up and that it'd be a beautiful shot on camera.
I think well,
they wouldn't even know where they are, Nate, I'd say, to be honest.
To be honest with you, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you did it when we were trying to organise the launch of the Hurling with the Stars. We've over 100 All-Ireland medals in this parish.
Between men and women,
in this club.
Yeah.
Between Camogie and Hurling.
How strong is Camogie in this club?
Yeah, very good. My brother's actually training
intermediate now.
And still we have, I think there's underage the whole way down. I mean, you could turn up here, Henry's little one is playing Hurling and playing Camogie.
They're in the intermediate club at Ireland.
By Liz Moore.
I think that's about 2017. It's about 2015.
7 years you won the club at Ireland.
Yeah. At that stage. So,
Ollie Harrington, more years than I care to remember now, being grey and middle-aged, was training the Ballyhill under 16s and minors when I was playing with my vintage. So I mean, that's the really, I suppose that's the thing keeps everybody going. One of his colleagues would at that time would have been Michael Hine, you know, two great people in the club, two great former players, and you know, had experience. It's not one of the glamour things. We're very lucky that we have a lot of glamour things in Ballyhill over the years with Club All-Irelands and county titles, but you know, we won a junior A title there in 2013, which was significant, far beyond the Division 4 title it was, because it allowed us to have three adult teams in the club for the first time,
right,
which was significant. But Michael Hine was myself and Michael Hine worked together in that management group. So they're little, small sinews, but they're very good in the parish, and there's an awful lot of them. Said Tommy now is there working with the third team, you know, and having worked with been on the first team himself for many years, but worked in the first team management group. So there's 100 different stories like that, but people genuinely are, we have our ups and downs and differences, but people are genuinely very committed to the club.
We didn't even go near the ups and downs and differences.
We had a few from Tommy Shefflin there do us for a while.
So give us a gist then of Hurling with the Stars.
Well, Hurling with the Stars, I don't know, everybody should know about it at this stage. We've contacted nearly every club in the whole country. It's a unique experience, a coaching experience is what we're offering here. The website is www.hurlingwiththestars.com. And basically what is on offer, it's a coaching experience day that the winning team comes to Ballyhale, and they can come down and they will be coached by Henry, Michael, TJ,
Colin,
Joey. You know, they're all there, the girls are there. So any team from small people the whole way up can enter this. And the more times you enter, obviously, the more chances you have of winning. But if you win and you have entered three times, you actually get to bring 75 people to Ballyhale. I mean, it's just such a thing. Nobody else can offer what we're offering, okay? I mean, there's a second prize, there's a third prize, all sports gear. I don't know how to explain it, that it comes across that we're cocky, because we're not cocky. We're very, very modest here, but it's something that we can offer that nobody else can offer. So we have to utilise it. And all our players, they mightn't be here tonight, the lads are training and they have other things on, but every single one of those lads is behind this 200%. And I mean, we'd be delighted if it's a team above in Donegal. They're still more than welcome to Ballyhale.
Yeah.
And we would like to think in the future going forward that there will be something else, you know, for the team that does win it. But the prize, basically what happens is there's a card and there's 25 lines on the card, and you only pay €100 for your ticket.
Club and keeps 150,
can,
yeah.
Then the club that buys it can keep the €150, or else you get somebody to sponsor your card, so then you can fundraise for the 250. I mean, it's a win-win situation for everybody. Every single club is looking to raise funds. So why not take part in this? I mean, we've just been doing the, as we call it, the Piltown tickets was €50. So, I mean, we always take part because it's a fundraiser for the club. But this is the next thing now, because all the Piltown tickets have to be in for tonight. So this is the next stage. And Fela is over. So people are on the next stage of their fundraising.
Tommy will explain better than I can. I mean, it's also an opportunity for clubs to fundraise internally themselves, isn't it, Tommy?
Yeah, of course. Like,
it's two-way street.
It's a two-way street. If you're lucky enough to have somebody over your under 14, under 16 team, they might sponsor the card, and then the club can raise €250 for themselves just to buy a bit of gear or whatever. Like, we know it's very difficult for clubs at the time, and there's a lot of other fundraisers going ahead. But I suppose we're looking for a bit of goodwill overall, the entertainment we probably did give over the years. And we just need to get this off the ground. And we need to start getting funds in. We, as you can see, we do need to upgrade. And, well, we will, everyone else takes. This is the start of it. And we're going to continue. We'll get this project over. But it is a great opportunity. I can go back to growing up in the 70s and 80s and listen to the great Kerry team, the Kerry Dames, Mike Sheehy, all these lads, and you'd love to just even see them somewhere. But this is an opportunity for kids to come and actually be coached by these guys, So if people think about it, it's absolutely a wonderful opportunity.
Yeah. Give us the website again.
www.hurlingwiththestars.com.
All right, great stuff. We'll put the details up on offtheball.com well, because there is still a few weeks left to enter. Thanks a million for having us, Mary. Thanks a lot for showing us around and for all the hospitality at home as well.
Just give this to yourself and Niall. It's we did this on the launch night. And basically, it's signed by all our captains here in the club. So you have Henry, Liam Fenley, Chaff, it's Patrick, Joey Holden, Ger Fenley, and Michael Fenley. So it's all our captains that came from Ballyhale.
Well, we will give it pride of place in our new Off the Ball studio, brilliant. So you'll be able to see it up there. That's brilliant. Thank you very much. As I say, thank you all for your time, for your hospitality.
I'll give you a Hurling with Stars t-shirt as well, Nathan.
Extra large, I hope.
Don't take it off.
Medium tight.
I know you're only playing junior hurling, but I still won't fit into that one, unfortunately. That is us done. We'll be back after this break.
Off the Ball on Newstalk.
Thanks to Screwfix.ie. Championing the trade with a choice of over 20,000 quality trade products.